Good morning. I've been asked to give a pre just a summary of my approach to the management of long COVID. So first off, when I see patients and assess them for long COVID, I usually do a series of blood tests initially, but often the blood tests are normal. Sometimes, however, there is evidence of low-grade inflammation in the bloods. So there's often evidence of immunoglobulins, which are antibodies that are just maybe too high or too low. Sometimes the lymphocytes, which are the white cells of the body that help you fight infection, clear infection, and basically control your immune system, they're sometimes deranged as well. But nonetheless, then my approach to treatment is independent of the tests that are done. A diagnosis of long COVID basically is given if you're still sick 3 months after the acquisition of a COVID infection. And the science is coming out to really strongly support that there's a number of issues that involve. One is brain inflammation. The second is immune dysregulation. So the immune system is damaged in some way by the COVID virus. The third issue is one of mitochondrial damage. And patients often with long COVID get this condition called crashing. Some people call it PEM, post-exertional malaise. The next issue that's been identified is that of microclots. We know that people acutely in the hospital with COVID, about 10% of them develop unusual blood clots. Seems to be something sticky about the patient's blood. Also now in long COVID, we're seeing what they call microclots, tiny little blood clots in the blood vessels of the body that may be contributing to inflammation and lack of flow of the oxygen to the brain and other places. And then the final issue is that of viral reactivation. When your immune system goes down, everybody has viruses in their body, CMV, Epstein-Barr, herpes viruses, zoster viruses, and there's other HHV6 and HHVH, human herpes virus 6 and 8 viruses. Most people have some of those viruses dormant in their body, being controlled by the immune system. When the immune system goes down, these viruses can reactivate. Thus, the approach to therapy that I take is, well, first off, there's a medication called LDN, low-dose naltrexone. LDN kind of fits two of the five issues. LDN helps with inflammation. LDN helps with immune dysregulation. It has some kind of immune reconstituting effects. LDN starts at 1 milligram. Patients build up to 2 milligrams, then up to 3 milligrams, and maximum dose is 4.5 milligrams. Usually you gradually taper up the medication as tolerated month after month after month. Some people find they do better at 3 milligrams. Some people find they do better at 2 milligrams. So you titrate up to the level that is really the best for you. So LDN, for those who can tolerate it, which is probably 95% of people, benefits, in my opinion, about 80% of people with long COVID. But it takes a month or two or 3 months for this medication to work. The next issue is the whole issue of immune dysregulation. And patients with long COVID are noted to have deficiencies of zinc, selenium, magnesium, coenzyme Q10. So I recommend a multivitamin that contains multiple different ingredients. And one of the products that I've been using for practicality is a product called Sublime Vitality, made by the company Just Herbs. You can find out about Just Herbs by going on their website, http justherbs.eu. But the one of the products, Sublime Vitality, has about 34 different ingredients, which include the a lot of minerals and supplements, as I mentioned before, and I recommend people take that on a daily basis. The next product that I tend to use is a product called Sublime Essential Capsules. Sublime Essential Capsules have about 8, 9 different ingredients. And these products help with the immune system. They help with inflammation, They help with the cognitive problems that patients experience with long COVID, and they also help with the mitochondrial crashing. The dosing of the sublingual essential capsules, I try to recommend that patients go on as many as 12 capsules a day. So that's 4 capsules 3 times a day. But sometimes people can only tolerate less, up to 6 tablets a day. So this is part of the solution as well. The next issue is one of, like I said, mitochondrial crashing, and the ingredients in the sublingual essential capsules really help with that. If patients are unable to access those products, there's a product called NAC, N-acetylcysteine. N-acetylcysteine is one of the ingredients in sublingual essential capsules, but taken alone, you order 600 milligram 2 capsules a day. Some people have found that the slow release formulation works even better. But NAC is converted to glutathione. Glutathione is thought to be essential for the mitochondria. For those who are still having this problem with crashing, mitochondrial crashing, there's a second product called sublime mangiferin. There's also available through the Just Herbs products. And sublime mangiferin helps with the cognitive, helps with the post-exertional malaise. And it's a second-line product that I add in when patients don't kind of respond to the NAC products. Usually, you have to take about 2 capsules 2 times a day. Moving on then to the issue of microclots. There have been studies that have been done in America using heavy-duty anticoagulants, aspirin, clopidogrel, apixaban. Those are anticoagulants that are used for patients with heart attack and strokes. And patients did seem to improve when they with long COVID, improved when they took these products. However, there were kind of unfortunate side effects, including bleeding into the brain and bleeding into the intestines. So I don't think this option is viable and safe at the present time. However, sometimes if patients have focal symptoms, I do put them on a baby aspirin, 75 milligrams once a day. And there's some natural products, for example, there's some natural products like nattokinase, which comes from soya extracts. Japanese use this quite commonly. And nattokinase has two effects. It has anticoagulant effects, and it also seems to have at least in vitro activity against the spike protein. And then the dose of the nattokinase, you can order it from a health food store, is 2,000 units, 2 capsules a day. In terms of the issue of viral reactivation, I sometimes, when patients are having recurrent herpes outbreaks or recurrent zoster outbreaks, I sometimes add in a standard antiviral like Valtrex, valacyclovir, in the dose of 500 to 1,000 milligrams a day. And there's been some studies looking at just using Valtrex for patients with long COVID. And there's some case reports that it does appear to benefit people. There also seems to be it seems to block IL-12, which is one of the cytokines which causes inflammation. So this is a good thing. I also additionally suggest people target the microbiome. Your immune system is mostly in your gut, and there have been studies done to show that people can speed up recovery from COVID with probiotics. So I do recommend patients go on a probiotic or kefir, which is a yogurt preparation, which also kind of manipulates the microbiome. As I said, the immune system is damaged in long COVID, and by dietary changes, changing your microbiome, this seems to improve patients' symptomatology. Finally, there's the issue of hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy in pilots seems to help patients with long COVID. Not 100%, unfortunately. My experience is about a third of patients benefit when used in combination with the other modalities that I've mentioned above. Unfortunately, it's not currently covered in most insurance policies, at least in Ireland. But for patients who can access hyperbaric oxygen chambers in their local communities, 20 sessions of hyperbaric oxygen therapy has shown to improve patients, especially cognitive and tiredness in patients with long COVID. So there is no magic answer, in terms of getting people better with long COVID, but it's a combination of different interventions, including lifestyle modifications. And the final thing I want to mention is just the issue of pacing. Pacing is the concept that you kind of only have a certain amount of energy in a day, and you have to kind of not go beyond that limit. And historically, chronic fatigue syndrome has been managed by patients being told to do exercise more, exercise, exercise more. This is graded exercise. And this has been debunked. And this is indeed dangerous. In my opinion, that patients with long COVID should be using this. You have to use the concept of pacing. So this is really my approach to the management of long COVID. People say we know nothing, but we know a lot about long COVID. The issues are brain inflammation, immune dysregulation, microclots, mitochondrial crashing, and virus reactivation. And we can target any and all of those, and patients do improve with time on these treatment modalities. Thank you.